And welcome to Talk of the Town, the latest in music, arts, and entertainment. I am Lisa Dascoli, and here again this month with me, my co-host Annie Weiss. Hey, Annie.
Hey, Lisa. How you doing?
Good. How are you this evening?
Wonderful. I'm so excited about tonight.
Yes, we have some really wonderful guests in our first phone interview, which is very exciting for us.
Making some history.
Yes. So what have you been up to lately, my dear?
Okay, well, I had a really fun weekend last Saturday. A good friend of mine, Randy Lupo, and I, she's a comedian, very, very funny lady. I got hired for a baby shower. Mm-hmm. Which is, like, kind of unheard of. Like, I've never done a baby shower before. I've done, like, a graduation party. But I did a baby shower, and it was really fun with Randy, who was hilarious. And I was thinking, you know, there must be so much I'm not a mom, but there must be so much preparation that goes into having a baby.
There is.
Yeah.
It's
like, I can
things
only
you
imagine.
Don't even think about. Like, where do I fit all of these little things in the drawers and whatnot? It's
right.
Yes.
And then you have to, like, baby-proof the house so your baby doesn't die.
Yes.
Right? Like, that's number one. Like, putting up the baby gates.
Right.
And putting the plastic things over the outlets so your baby doesn't electrocute themselves.
Right.
And decorating the baby's room, which is probably the most fun part.
That is fun.
Right? Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, so this was, like, her first baby. And then I started thinking about my life and my siblings. I'm the second oldest of four. And when my sister Maggie was born, she got the best of everything. I feel like firstborns always get the best of the best.
Well, I am a firstborn, so I mean, I understand that point of view. Yes.
Yeah.
And my firstborn, yes.
She got the best of the best. Like, Maggie got the most beautiful frilly dresses, dressed to the nines.
Absolutely.
Right? And then I came along 18 months later, got her beautiful frilly stained dresses.
Yes.
7 years later, my sister Hannah came along. She got my cousin's hand-me-downs. He was a boy. I didn't realize Hannah was a girl till she was five.
Yeah, that's just, yeah. Unfortunately, and that is very true, because my firstborn got velvet dresses, and my second one
got
not so much.
Target.
Yeah, because you get over yourself.
No, and then like and then I'm the fourth, and my brother came along 4 years later after Hannah, and he was lucky if he got socks. Like, this kid didn't know what a t-shirt was till he was in second grade. You know what I mean? He was naked all the time. And my mom used to say, oh, let the bambino air it out. It's good for him. Let him run naked. It's good for him.
Yes.
And by the time my brother was born, we had live wires hanging from the ceiling.
Oh, you get over yourself so
quickly. Oh, my God. The house was a mess.
You really
and if
did.
We said, hey, don't touch that, and he did, he learned his lesson.
Well, that's the way you looked at it. Now, you know, I wanted to tell you, we have a really special interview tonight. Our friend of our show,
yes.
Richard Skipper,
love
who
him.
Is a wonderful friend to our show, and a really intelligent and just talented man. He approached me about a movie that will be coming out, and it's going to be shown this weekend at the Quad Cinema in New York City. And the way he approached me about it, he said, Lisa, this movie does not have one single swear word in it. I said, really?
That is a breath of fresh air.
And he said, it's really going to turn things around. He said, I'm so excited about it. It's going to really set cinema making on its ear. And okay, so tell me more, Richard. And the name of this movie is called Life Inside Out. And the story behind it is what is so wonderful. It is about a mother who has a family. She has a teenage son. And her teenage son is getting into trouble, getting into some difficulties, and she is rediscovering her passion for music. And I watched the trailer, and I have to say, it just spoke to me, because in so many ways, it's my story
right.
as well. So we have Tessa Bell on the phone. Hi, Tessa. How are you?
Hello, ladies. How are you?
Doing
thank you
good.
For having me.
Oh, thank you so much. I just really quickly, before I turn the interview to you, I want to read a few of these critiques, these wonderful reviews. A gentle, poignant drama whose heart and head are squarely in the right place. And more than anything, what I love is that it says, there's a true art to coming up with a story that is sweet but not saccharine, sentimental but not cheesy. And Life Inside Out, director Jill Dan, I can't say her last name.
Danietica.
Danietica. As an Italian, I should know this. Her narrative film on new beginnings and second acts treads that line beautifully. And I love that.
I love that, too.
And so, Tessa, tell me, where did you get the inspiration for this movie?
Listen, this is a movie that really does speak to almost every woman that I know who's seen this movie mm-hmm. comes up to us afterwards and said, wow, that is my story. Wow. In fact, we've had so many women who love this story because it's so authentic. Mm-hmm. I had one woman at a film festival leave the movie, go to a jewelry store, buy me a silver bracelet with a heart on it.
Oh, my goodness.
That's so nice.
And come back with her husband and her family and her relatives and to the next day's screening. And then she was tearful. And so mm-hmm. it's just this really authentic. We don't see movies like that anymore. I mean, right. movies have become sort of this commodity, which is supposed to produce endorphins mm-hmm. so that you want to come back because it's almost like McDonald's and sugar.
Yes.
Only it's entertainment and adrenaline.
Mm-hmm.
So, but, you know, that's not the art form itself. That's the marketplace. And right. I've found there is this incredible thirst for this kind of sweet, but not saccharine, authentic mm-hmm. story that, you know, this huge market can actually relate to. And so, but back to your question, which is how did I come upon this beautiful little story? Maggie Baird is the star and one of the two writers of the film. And Maggie is my cousin through marriage
mm-hmm.
When my daughter Emma Bell and I moved out to California 8 years ago, they let us sleep on their sofa and they were it's a family of artists and actors and musicians, and they live a very very disciplined artistic life, but they opened their arms and we slept on their sofa when we needed it, and it was just really really wonderful. So a couple years later, when she came to me and said, I'd really like you to produce my movie and I have absolutely no money and it's a small story, but I really want you to produce it. So I read the script, and indeed it was this lovely little story that was so similar to my personal story mm-hmm. in so many ways. I almost couldn't turn it down. I knew what we were getting into because we weren't going to cast it with name actors. We were going to cast it with Maggie, and mm-hmm. the other writer plays her sister in the film. She's hysterical. Her
and we do have to mention Phineas O'Connell, and is her son.
And Phineas O'Connell is her son in real life and is a real talent.
Mm-hmm.
Now, okay, so he didn't have to audition because he was her son, but we didn't know if he could carry a film. And so it was really, really scary. And lo and behold, he really knocks it out of the ballpark. You totally believe everything this kid says. He's mm-hmm. so real and present, and he's got such a great character there that he plays. Mm-hmm. It's not their life. I mean, that isn't their life. That isn't their relationship, and that's not their life. He is not like this depressed little teenager.
Right.
And she's not this overburdened, woman who, so they really are playing roles. This is mm-hmm. not them. But they played them so well. It was just wonderful. Yeah.
Well, I do want to mention, because I want to make sure I don't forget to mention it, Quad Cinema, and that will be this weekend, playing January 16th through the 22nd. And if you do go on the Friday night, which is the 16th, Richard will be hosting a talk back afterwards. So my hope is that so many people who are going to be touched by this stay and voice their takeaway from it. Because I really do. First of all, I trust Richard implicitly. So when he says to me, this is something to look out for, I believed him. And then what I had seen, which I looked up on YouTube and whatever, it was amazing. It really is going to be.
When Richard, because I've known Richard since my cabaret days,
mm-hmm.
10, 15 years ago, and he was, I adore Richard. He's exactly everything that you said, and then
yes.
some. And when I sent him the movie, I was like, oh, my God, if he doesn't like this movie, I'm not going to New York. And that was true. If he didn't mm-hmm. like the movie, we're not going to go to New York. Because
right.
he's a barometer. I mean, he's not only is a
very much.
Force, a promotional force, but he's a barometer of the sensibilities of the artistic community in New York City, for sure. And he's such a well-grounded human being, and I adore him. And so I sent him the DVD, and I was really, really worried. Mm-hmm. And then he called me up, and he goes, oh, my God, we're crying on the sofa.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Well, I have to tell you, Tessa, I have, and I'm not, you know, I am making a prediction here. I'm putting myself way out on the gangplank. I think this is going to be the sleeper hit. I think this is going to pick up steam, and I think you are going to get the ears of big studios who are going to start to say, hey, you know what, we can tell a story without special effects, without, you know, all kinds of questionable behavior. I think this is what it's about. It's storytelling, and that's what is impressive to me.
Well, you to God and back again, because that would be, we kind of were hoping for a once experience. Now, we didn't get that once experience, but it's not over yet. We're not dead. You never know. Somebody might come along and say, you know what, I'm going to take this theatrical and, I mean, take this national, and we're going to really pump this thing up. And that would be fantastic, because I'm pretty sure there's an audience for it.
I know there is. And I'm sorry to interrupt you, but I have to interrupt you right now, because the first words out of my mouth were, this is my story. And there's so many women who are going to relate to this. You know, I mean, Annie, you're quite younger than me, so you can't, but I can say, yes, this is, you know, this is an act two in my life to have the opportunity to be doing this. And I think so many people are going to relate to this. So
and
many
I,
women.
I feel like I can even relate to it. You know, I don't have kids and I don't have a teenage son, but I do have a brother and a mom. And,
right,
you know,
right.
And my brother's 17, and I think that my right. whole family will be able to relate to it.
Well, as a matter of fact, what's interesting, because we've been to a ton of festivals, and so we made a point of going and doing Q&As. And by the way, the Q&As this weekend are for the entire run, so every single screening there will be somebody from the movie doing Q&As. I don't know if Richard's going to MC all of them, but certainly over the weekend he's going to do all of the weekend. And so... Maggie for sure will be there the whole time, and I'll be there this weekend, and the Q&As are great. But anyway, at festivals, we did all the Q&As, and so we really know our audience really, really well. And what people tended to do was moms would come, they'd see the movie, they'd come back the next day with their husbands.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because it authentically portrays a male struggle as well.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't discount the struggle. It doesn't make them into villains. It doesn't make them into heroes. It makes them into loving husbands.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a kind of a portrayal that we don't get very often. So the guys come. Then when the guys come, they start crying because we actually move their hearts. And then they bring, you know, grandma and grandpa and the son on the third round. So it's definitely a movie that appeals to the entire family across generationally. So I'm really happy about that.
That's so exciting. That's such a breath of fresh air, and so nice to hear that it's a family film.
Exactly.
You know, and you don't have to be, you know, you don't have to cover your kids' eyes.
And there's no pandering.
Right.
There's no pandering. That's the thing. But my fear is that it's going to be seen by the New York intelligentsia as, I don't know. Of course, we're petrified.
Well, you know what? I please don't be petrified, Tessa, because I thought it was wonderful. Mm. Richard thought it was wonderful, and I'm going to send all kinds of good energy, and I'm going to say it again. Quad Cinema, that is 34 West 13th Street in New York. The number is 212-255-2243 for anybody who wants more information. And if you can't make it this weekend, can you tell us where it will be shown next?
Well, it's playing all the way through next Thursday, so it's a full week.
Oh, it is a full week.
At the Quad, yeah. And if we do really well, they'll extend it. We got extended in Los Angeles because we did really well. And then after that, that magical person has to sort of appear for us to do more theaters. And so I'm hoping that happens in New York somehow. And also, one last thing. We are, for the 17th, Saturday the 17th, if you buy a ticket to the screening on the 17th at 7 p.m. or the 1 o'clock, either way, and you keep your ticket stub, come to the Penny Farthing, which is on 13th Street over on the east side. We're doing, we're having a party with free finger food and discounted cash bar, but also Maggie will be playing, and if Phineas comes out from Los Angeles, he'll also play live, and that's a beautiful thing to see. And we'll have several other, you know, there's a lot of stuff about open mics in the movie, so we're kind of doing an after party with a little bit of an open mic theme. So it'd be a lot
of
fun.
That's wonderful.
So I do hope everybody takes note of that. The wonderful thing is that this broadcast, in addition to be streaming live, it is archived on on broadbandboxoffice.com. So you can review this information if you want to hear it again. And I truly hope with all of my heart that this really does become the next Goodwill Hunting.
Yes.
That would be what I wish for you.
Thank you, ladies. You guys are wonderful. Thank you so much.
Thank
My
you.
Pleasure, and we will be talking again soon. This has been Tessa Bell, and again, the movie is Life Inside Out. Thank you, Tessa.
Thank you, guys.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Okay. All right. Now, that's not all we have going on this evening, but
no.
That
was really nice.
I'm
really looking forward to seeing this movie.
And I really hope that those who have been listening and becoming friends of this show, that they take the opportunity to go and see this movie and
support it.
Support it and support this sort of endeavor, this sort of art form. I really believe that that's a great direction that we should be going in, that people are coming back with multiple members of their family.
That's so nice to hear. And you know it's going to have legs when it reaches the whole family.
Yes.
You know?
Absolutely. Well, on now.
I'm so excited.
I know. Just very quickly. You are listening to Talk of the Town on broadbandboxoffice.com. We stream every month, the second Tuesday of every month. Next month, look for us at 8 o'clock. We are going to be changing our time. And that's just so it's a little more accessible to all our listeners.
Also, so Betty can listen because she has Jeopardy at 7.
Betty was behind this.
It was Betty's idea.
So we had to listen to Betty. So Betty, this is for you.
Is Betty only one listener?
No, she's not our only listener, Gregory.
She's the one that matters. No, I'm just kidding. Everybody listens matter. She's my mom.
I see.
But our next guest is Gregory Kay. And he told me his last name, and I just looked at him and I said, So
that's okay. I will tell you.
Tell him.
Krastashevsky.
Yes.
I think I just butchered it.
Close.
Oh. And I have an ethnic last name, so it's, but you may know him from the Netflix series Orange is the New Black as Red's husband.
Mm-hmm.
And he's also an accomplished comedian and actor as well. So welcome to our show, Gregory.
Oh, thank you very
thank
much.
Thank you so much
thank
for
you.
Coming.
Oh, absolutely. I was actually driving. I didn't walk.
Now, obviously, you are not a native. You're not American born. I don't want to say Native American. You're certainly
Native American.
You're not American born. Tell us where you are from.
Well, I was born in former USSR. It was a long time ago. I don't even remember when it was. The country doesn't exist anymore.
That's how long ago it was.
I don't have a pass. It's erased.
When did you start your career?
Oh, I started my career right. You mean acting career? Yeah, performing. I started right when I graduated from the college when I studied engineering. Yeah.
You studied engineering, but you went into acting.
Yes, on my 6 years, I told my father, I want to become an actor.
And he said?
And he said, no way.
As any parent's reaction would
absolutely.
Say. Yeah.
Absolutely.
So he told me to finish my education, but I told him, I already there. I was accepted to the professional theater. So
Russia.
Yeah, so why should I? But he insisted, and I told him, help me.
Okay.
So he wrote my thesis.
Because you were studying your lines, right?
It's funny because before we started the show, we got into a conversation, and you've got two very staunch actors here. You're very I'm very Stanislavski as well. So that is where our background, and Annie is much more Meisner technique. So, and we were debating the pros and the cons of both of those methods.
Right.
And yeah, we sounded like a couple of real, you know, actor artsy fartsy kind of people.
Well, Stanislavski. Well, the Stanislavski actually was born. Not in Soviet Union, he was born in Russia.
Correct.
Which became Soviet Union.
Yes.
So he actually taught acting in Russia. And basically in Russia, I don't know what's happening now, but back then when I studied acting, it was primarily Stanislavski.
Yes.
So everywhere in colleges, they Stanislavski. When I was studying engineering, and I was the same time studying acting. Yeah. And then later I studied directing. Later, after I finish my engineering college.
Well, so, but you also teach. I'm sorry to interrupt you, but you also. I want to make sure we all know you teach acting as well.
Yes, I do teaching. I like to teach acting. Yeah, it's like a directing.
Yes.
For me. Yeah. So I enjoying a lot. I teach in public school. I teach in colleges, and I teach privately.
And where do you teach privately?
Well, I teach privately. We're going to open the acting school right in this place.
Oh, right where we are doing
right
this podcast.
Which is VK Media, that is on Bloomfield Avenue in Nutley, New Jersey. And how can we get in touch with you?
Well, it's going to be called Metropolitan Acting Studios.
Okay.
So you can write, you can send email, Metropolitan Acting at gmail.com, okay. Or you can call 1-800-872-0525.
Okay. Beautiful.
Or, of course, you can always click on the link here, broadwayboxoffice.com.
Absolutely.
And we'll get you in touch with Gregory. Because I do want to make sure that we do mention that, in addition to that, I know you as a stand-up comic, and you are a very funny man.
So
thank you so much.
Very funny man, and I love your comedy. And where's your comedy based out of? Where do you get your inspiration for it?
Well, I think I didn't know. I kind of feel funny until I met my wife.
Okay,
she's your inspiration.
She's the reason I went to like a show business. Because I when I was dating for like 4 years, I made her laugh until 4 o'clock in the morning.
Aww. Is that how she fell in love with you?
I guess so. I didn't know.
Annie, don't you agree with me that you love a guy that can make you? I mean, that's important.
If I don't have to be the funny one, he gives me a night off. Got it.
That's absolutely.
In love.
That's I love it. The guy who can make you laugh, that means a lot. So.
But I didn't feel funny before. I mean, when I met her, there was something. Chemistry just provoked me. With some people, I feel funny, and with other, I don't. So
okay.
She was one who I actually just felt funny.
You felt comfortable.
Yeah,
I actually
she provoked me to make her laugh.
Ah,
yeah,
that's nice.
That's what happened. And then I went. When she pushed me to do acting professionally. My first job was a mime.
Okay.
I studied mime. There was a big back in USSR in Kyiv. Actually, now it's called Ukraine. Before it was like a USSR Russia. Yeah. I studied to be mime.
Mm-hmm.
So the whole training. I mean, then I joined the professional group. It was like a clown group. But not like traditional mime.
Mm-hmm.
And from that, there was a festival, and I was offered a job to theater. And then when I got the job, and I went to study acting, and was doing my acting in the theater.
Now, when did you come over to the United States?
Oh, it was in 1990. Yeah, I left Russia in 1989, and I was like strolling in Europe, like between Austria and Italy. And then when I got visa, I.
And what made you come here?
Well, I was a refugee.
Okay.
Yeah, refugee. And so when the door was open, I
flew through it.
Yeah. My father-in-law was going to leave for Russia. Before a long time ago, but because he was working military company, he couldn't leave Russia. So he had to wait 10 years.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I didn't know
so that. When he got permission, we left.
Very good.
Well, welcome.
And you came right to New Jersey. Yes,
right in New Jersey, yeah. Right in New Jersey, and I live for how many years? Well, it's going to be March 19th. I came to New Jersey.
Oh, wow.
Very good. Now, how did you learn the language? Because it's
I don't know. I thought I would never learn English because back then in USSR I was learning German.
Okay.
German in school, German in college. And I when I came to Austria and I thought I can talk in German, I fell. Nobody could understand me, and I didn't understand anybody.
Right.
So so that was the end of my German. So I decided why not to learn English? I mean, so I started when I was about 30 years old. So it was hard for me. For
Very
example,
much.
My wife was more skillful. She learned English back in USSR, but she also struggled. I mean, most difficult is to listen. It's a kind of, you can say something, but when somebody's talking, it's hard to understand what they say.
Right.
Even TV didn't help. When I first came, I was watching comfortably Spanish TV.
Okay.
For me, it didn't matter. I mean,
yes.
English or Spanish didn't matter. I couldn't understand what it is, but I follow what's going on.
Yeah.
Right, of course. Well, yeah. Well, it's not an easy language because it doesn't make sense in a lot of ways because the English language is based upon so many other languages, and you know this as well as I do. There's words that have a French basis and words that have
German,
basis. So it's not an easy
language.
Well,
it was what happened. I found it and I advocate that I started learning from the text and with dictionary first.
Okay.
But when it comes to talk and listen, I found that you need to strike the conversation. You need to break this barrier because you feel embarrassed. Because you, when you come, you feel so embarrassed you can't communicate. You become like a handicapped. It's
okay.
Like you feel like you're inadequate. I mean, with this language, and you make mistake, and you know that you're making mistake, but you can't be embarrassed because it will keep you further inadequate and further. So I saw the neighbor, my neighbor. Mm-hmm. He was every day he was buying. He was American, I figure out, and he was buying every day newspaper and was walking with his newspaper. And I thought I approached him and asked him, "Can you come to my place and talk to me for an hour?" One day, I would pay you $5.
Okay, and that's...
He said, I never taught. I said, that's okay, just talk to me. And I will find the theme of conversation. So he agreed, and every day he would come to my place, and I would have prepared a theme of conversation, and I recorded him.
Oh, my God, that's
and
such
I,
a good idea.
And I was talking to him, he was talking about, and about... At the time, I was unemployed, so I had the time. After he left, I would play back. And sooner, like in 3-4 months, I was able to talk to him, picking up his language, his vocabulary.
Okay.
So that prepared me to become a teacher.
That's wonderful.
And you're a teacher.
Yeah, I'm a teacher. So I went to my first job interview. I got the job.
Oh my God.
And what do you teach?
I use my engineering background. Mm-hmm. Of course, I couldn't do acting when I came. My language was so poor. But I prepared myself to be a math teacher.
Okay.
So I got a job, and in high school, started teaching math. Well, and I'm still teaching math. Mm.
And where do you work?
I teach in Newark, in Eastside High School, yeah.
Do you really?
Oh, yeah, for 22 years.
Wow.
Yeah.
And you also teach?
I teach acting.
Acting,
yes.
As well.
Yeah, I teach acting in the school. I was teaching acting in the same school for years, directing the plays. And I was teaching acting in university, Jersey City University. Mm-hmm. And I teach privately.
Wonderful. Yeah. And how do your students feel about you being on television and such a successful program?
A long time ago, when I started acting here in this country, I got commercials.
Mm. Okay.
They saw me on commercials, and I felt a little bit different, because some students respected it. They were so excited, and some of were mocking me by the words I was saying, and that's actually bothered me. I mean,
okay, of course.
I remember you were in a fruit roll-up commercial.
For what?
Fruit roll-up.
Fruit roll-up.
Yeah,
fruit roll-up. I remember back in the 90s, okay. I was a little girl, and you were in a fruit roll-up commercial.
Wow.
Good for you, Annie. You remember
back
that.
In Brooklyn.
And
back
what I find so interesting is Americans are fascinated with accents and regionalisms.
Probably.
We are.
Yeah, that's why I got the job.
Yes. Well, you know what? Our half hour is gone already.
Well,
I mean, I know. We have to do something about getting more time on air. Because
we need at least 3.5 hours.
I'm telling you. Well, that's because we have some of the most wonderful guests, and present company included. Thank you so much,
yes,
Gregory, for
you.
Being part
thank
of this.
You.
And another thank you
thank
to
you.
Tessa Bell for talking to us and talking about the movie. So I just want to remind everybody that you are listening to Talk of the Town on broadbandboxoffice.com, second Tuesday of every month. Please tune in next month. We're going to have a girls' night for Valentine's Day. It's going to be Annie, me, and Tina Marie. Tune in, guys. It's going to be awesome. Until next month.
Hello, this is Dr. Barry Prostowski. I invite you to watch Courageous Doctors, an exciting new show on Broadband Box Office about how healthcare is affecting you today.
It's the Mark Daisy Show, filled with gifts, fun, and surprises, and $20,000 in cash for every viewer. Well, maybe not. But we do talk about stuff and things that you might want to think about after, before, and during the show. It's engaging, at least. So come by, won't you? We're here at Facebook, on iTunes. We broadcast from VK Media right here on the East Coast. And we're part of broadbandboxoffice.com. Check us out. Come by. Like us. Do what you can. Spend some time. Take some time off. Sit down. Have a viewing. It's happening. It's now. It's controversial. Or maybe not. But we could use a couple of more viewers. Maybe starting with you. Won't you?
Hi, I'm Randy Lupo, host of The Randy Lupo Show on Broadband Box Office. Wait, is that a tongue twister or an alliteration? Come meet my favorite people, comedians, actors, writers, spiritual people, and everyone in between. I'm looking forward to seeing you.
Hi, my name is Tom Ragu of the Tom Ragu Sit Down Comedy Show. You can listen to us at the Broadband Box Office. And for more information, please visit www.tomragu.com/podcast.